YouTube can be really, really frustrating. I mean, you think you're doing everything right, you're uploading on a regular schedule, you're labeling your videos correctly, you've got great thumbnails, and yet you're simply not getting the traction that you want. Perhaps you're making one of the five fundamental mistakes that's derailing your channel. Did you know such a thing exists? Well, today, let's unpack those five common mistakes YouTubers are making.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
Oh, welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am your host. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber just like you. I'm also the director of customer success at vidIQ. What does that mean? It means I help creators with strategy and helping you achieve your goals, more subscribers, more views in less time. And today we're very lucky to be able to have the one and only Benji Travis with us. Benji Travis, for those who don't know, is a YouTube mastermind. He's behind the It's Duty Time with over 1.6 million subscribers, which is fairly large. We can all agree to that. And his own cooking channel, which has got over 365,000 subscribers. He is the one half of the duo at Video Influencers with Sean Cannell, and he's the co-author of YouTube Secrets, one of my favorite books. In fact, if you look at my videos, it's in the top right-hand side at all times. I always have it at hand because just immense amount of information. So Benji, thank you for making the time and being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Liron, and I appreciate that introduction. That was very impressive, and I'm honored that you would think so highly of me to have me on this podcast, and excited to dive into it.
So Benji, you and I, we work with a lot of creators. We go to all the events. We speak to a lot of people of all different sizes. And we got to admit, there's a lot of things that people are doing right, but we all know that there's a lot of stuff, just fundamental things that people are still not getting. So I thought today, why don't we dive into a couple of tips that you have seen out there of things that people are just doing wrong, and we can just dive into that and just dissect those. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, this is the thing about YouTube. It's more than any other social media app or, comparing it to other platforms. It's just so massive. So it can get quite complicated and people can get confused. And I'm excited to be sharing these mistakes as well as some tips around them, because it's important to have a little bit of guidance when you first start, because when I first started, it was just like poking and prodding and kind of figuring everything out. And now there's so many resources, including your podcast as well, to be able to navigate this this kind of like new frontier we call YouTube.
Frontier being right, because it feels like it's changing all the time. Mm-hmm. So what was right, you know, a month ago, a year ago, it just simply doesn't seem to be fitting this beast of an algorithm. But at the end of the day, it's still a content platform, and there's still some serious, like, just basic stuff that people are not getting. What would you think is kind of the number one most glaring thing when you see a channel or you talk to someone that you're trying to help? What's kind of one thing that immediately jumps out at you and you go, no, stop, let's fix this first?
First thing that sticks out is people not having clarity or having a goal of what they want to accomplish on this platform. And that can be different for everybody, but why it's important is because if you don't have some kind of clarity for yourself in terms of who you're trying to reach, what type of content you're going to stand for, what people will know you for, what your channel is going to look like, what your videos are going to be, you're going to just be all over the place. And Sean has this great example. Say you're in San Francisco and you want to get somewhere. You can't be in both, you know, Seattle where I'm from and Las Vegas where he's from at the same time. You have to commit to one destination. And once you commit, it's a lot easier to get there. In fact, if you try to commit to both destinations, you will never get anywhere, or you would have to do something almost next to impossible. Don't get me wrong, it's a little bit different when you talk about YouTube. And of course, I have multiple channels. But when if I was going to start all over, I would have that clarity of where I want to go and then how I want to get there. Because if you do that, you can really, really kind of shed all the fat or the unnecessary steps to get to where you want and what you want to accomplish.
So, I love starting with the clarity in mind, because mm-hmm. once you know what you want to do, mm-hmm. then immediately it's like your mission statement. And then immediately yep. you know when you're offered something that's out of your mission statement, you simply turn it down. It doesn't fit where you want to go. What's yep. the point of wasting time on that? Yeah, so absolutely. If you got clarity tips, how we can get clearer, let's do those.
There you go. There's three specifically for this, for people that make this mistake of not being clear. Number one, define exactly what type of content you're passionate about and you want to share with people. Whether you're a teacher teaching math, whether you're a business person coaching other, you know, entrepreneurs about business, maybe you're a vlogger, but you're specifically going to be talking about gardening. I love the garden. So someone asked me, could you start a gardening channel that was a gardening vlog? I was like, absolutely. I bet you mm-hmm. if I found a channel like that, I would want to watch it. But the point being, I know that person is all about gardening. So their vlog would kind of revolve around their day. They get up and maybe they start with, you know, watering the plants and taking a look at some pruning and some, you know, it gets pretty geeky once you dive into it. But the point is, anybody that is into that will watch it. So having that clarity of what kind of content you want to offer. The second tip is, who do you want to offer it to? When you know who you're going to offer it to, so many things that are going to be required for you to connect with them on this platform are going to be much more obvious. So we call it the avatar. Who is the ideal person, whether it's male or female? Are they gardening fanatics, or are they tech geeks? Mm-hmm. Are they people that are wanting to make money in their business in a specific type of industry? Have that clarity. And the third one is, have a goal for yourself that's very clear of what you want to get out of this. And what I mean is, a lot of people just come into it, they, especially young people, they just want to be famous. They consume yes. this content, they're following, you know, mega famous people, and they're like, I just want to be a YouTuber. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's an uphill battle, because what does that even mean? I define myself as a YouTuber. However, I don't think of myself as just that. There's so much more. But if I was going to start all over, I would really define what it is I want to become and what it is I want to get out of it. Example would be that gardening channel. Maybe what you want to do is start a business where you sell gardening tools. So you're going to start a gardening vlog where you vlog everything about gardening, and you do standalone videos where you talk about specific tips, but then you create more behind the scenes casual vlogs, and maybe you might not get a million views, but it's 1,000 gardening fanatics. And yes. because you start that relationship over time, you can sell some of your gardening tools to that audience. And having that goal in mind would also help you to set up how it is that you want to deliver your content. And you'll figure out what I'm talking about. But those three tips, when it comes to having clarity, is so important that most people don't even have, you know, one or two of those.
It's starting a business, essentially. If you mm-hmm. you can't start a business today selling lemonades, tomorrow selling cell phones, the next day selling cakes, I mean, you've just confused everyone all the time. That business is never going to go anywhere. Yet for YouTube, people approach it with, oh, I'm just going to do stuff and then I'll be famous. Well, that really doesn't really help you. But by being clear, defining what kind of content, who is the audience, where you want to get to, that is just gold to get you going. Well worth investing the time into it.
So there you go. That's the number one. Number one point I want to make that you pointed out. You're going to save yourself a lot of time. So a lot of people ask me, how do I make sure I'm successful in 6 months? Well, I could never guarantee that. But if mm-hmm. you can focus on specific actions that are going to be catered towards your audience, towards your goal, you could and most likely will save time. And that's what we're here for, right, Leon? Yes. I mean, this podcast, our videos on video influencers, the book I wrote, it's all to save people time and skip a few steps. Don't get me wrong, you still have to work hard and hustle, but having that clarity so that you can have that laser focus is very important.
Boom, right there. So that's where you get started. What's mistake number two that you see?
So Leron, I think this is going to be the first time you've ever heard it said Ooh. Like this. Here so I'm go. Excited. I literally just wrote it down just a second ago. Looking at YouTube as a social media site versus a search engine.
Now, ooh, that's a change. Right. Talk to me.
When you talk about platforms that have become very popular and necessary in business, especially, it's basically because of impressions or reach or basically becoming popular, right? Becoming famous, right, or being able to connect with an audience. And that's been the case for all the different platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any of them, Tumblr, Pinterest. It's about connecting with other people. And people have kind of had that same thinking with YouTube, right? This term called YouTuber, YouTube famous. And people look at it the same way, but the approach is different if you understand the one thing that sets YouTube apart. And this is what's so funny about this and ironic. YouTube's been around since the beginning, right? 2005. It's still the exact same approach. It's still the same philosophy. The principle is the exact same. Yet now those, this is no longer early adopters. It's like everybody just lagging behind is trying to play catch up. They're using it and they're thinking, I want to get subscribers. I want to get as popular as possible so I get all these views. Versus looking at it's like, okay, this is a search engine. I just need to create content that revolves around people's searches. Who cares how many people are really searching it? Because if there's a specific need, most likely people are searching it, right? Obviously, right, there's some research you can do and some data you can collect to make sure. But the reality is, it's not a popularity contest. Now, it is important to build an audience, and getting subscribers is part of that, but it's just such a small part of the strategy initially. And Sean and I on Video Influencers, we tell you, don't even worry about your numbers, at least for the first year. If all you did was satisfy people's searches on YouTube when it comes to your content, you will be ahead of 9 out of 10 people on this platform.
And I think you're right, because YouTube is also changing the way that they are rewarding, in inverted commas, kind of videos by going for quality. So it's watch time. It's what people actually want to consume. So this whole thing of just make more, who cares who it reaches, those days should be behind us. We should be going after quality, rather less, but good quality that people actually want to share.
Yeah, and let me dive into the one tip for this mistake. But before that, I love what you said. Quality is what's important. I just recently spoke to somebody that works at YouTube, that works on the team that suggests content to people on suggested feeds, both on the app and the desktop. Wow. And what they told me was they do want to pull people out of obscurity. So newbies, people that maybe don't have a big audience yet, if you have quality content, they want to get it in front of audiences and give you a chance, because it doesn't matter any longer to YouTube if you've got a million subscribers. If your content sucks compared to maybe somebody that is just starting out but is really hustling on the quality side, they'd rather put in front of that person, not just because they're friendly, but because it will invite a longer watch time. So quality and watch time, if you're not familiar with what watch time is basically the amount of time that you stay and watch a video, watch videos on YouTube. That is so important. So the number one tip here, if search is where you want to start, rather than think of it like a social media app where you have to just connect with people and be Mr. Popular, is start with research. Research what people are actually searching for, the exact phrase. We're not talking hypotheticals. You need to do this. And what the easiest way to do it is when you type onto the YouTube search bar, see all the results that YouTube is showing you. And that's information, that's data from YouTube of what other people are searching based on just the first few letters. That's what's so crazy. And as you type more and more and more words, gets more specific, there's no guarantee that each one of those prompts are something that, you know, is going to crush if you create a video. It's just a great starting place. And of course, you know, I hope we can talk about it, but, you know, the tool I prefer is vidIQ. And vidIQ, again, gives you an additional data on certain search terms or phrases to help you understand what it is people are searching for. And if you create content based off of that, you're already off to the races.
Well, yeah, because it's marrying up search with your content, which is what YouTube wants to do. It wants to serve you as the audience, because when you're doing a search for yourself, you know how frustrating it is when you don't find the results you're looking for. So YouTube wants to serve your content. It wants to help you, contrary to popular belief that everybody thinks, that some people, I should say, mm-hmm. think mm-hmm. that YouTube is actually against you and they only want to support the big players. YouTube doesn't want the big players versus the small players. It just wants quality versus non-quality, versus clickbaity, mm-hmm. versus... YouTube is a business. It wants to make money. The more ads it can serve, the more money it makes. We just got to remember that it's not against us. So I love that. And do you see people are not doing that? Do you see people are just creating content?
Definitely. All over the place? Mm. I mean, that is the mistake at the heart of this point. People are just creating content that they think people want to watch versus creating content based on what people are actually searching for. And see, that's the difference. On Instagram, I think that you can research, obviously. Facebook, mm-hmm. not even close. You can't really research what you can research on YouTube. Because, you know, also you have Google's data backing up YouTube.
Right.
So on those more social media centric platforms, it is about creating content that just people are going to purely like. What is going to get you the most followers and that helps you get in front of people. And with YouTube, it's so different because, I mean, the easiest way to explain it to somebody is, what do you use YouTube for? What do most people say they use YouTube for?
Normally how-tos and entertainment.
Exactly. It's like a search utility. Mm-hmm. It's like, yep. I need an answer. Even if it's just like, I need a piece of content, I know I can get it quickest on YouTube. Yes,
definitely.
And that's just not the case anywhere else. So it's kind of a huge hack because while 90% of the world is just putting up content they think is great, and don't get me wrong, I feel for them and I'm sure they work very hard, but mm-hmm. you know, YouTube, the democracy of YouTube is the end user will determine if it's good because the algorithm, especially now that's AI, is really figuring out what is actually high quality versus what is just something that comes from somebody with a lot of subscribers that might know how to work the old algorithm with engagement. Right. And now they're really getting nitty gritty on observing how people consume content.
Okay, great. So far I've made frantic notes, just FYI. So if I'm making notes, all of these, by the way, will be in the show notes below this episode. So as you're glued and married to this information, don't worry, it's all that you want, miss a thing.
Another huge mistake is people limiting their opportunities when it comes to YouTube. So most people come onto the platform because they see everybody else doing it. They're using the content. They understand that there is monetization strategies that are happening, whether it's ads or getting sponsored by brands. And they're like, yeah, my business needs to get in here. We need to reach our customers or get new clients. And that's it. They're just like, okay, so I'm going to throw up content. I'm probably going to make money from these ads. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to like get some sponsorship from some brands. Or they're thinking like, you know, this will be leads for my business. It doesn't just stop there. The amount of opportunities to be able to work YouTube is pretty crazy. I mean, let's just talk about business alone. Right, I know this because I get a lot of business people ask me. I just had a meeting about a week ago with somebody that I want to say he's like 60, maybe like closer to 70 years old, uses YouTube, right? Like no differently than a young person, just like searching for stuff, consuming things, sometimes entertainment, sometimes it's a tutorial on how to fix something, and they know they need YouTube in their business. And so they're thinking, you know, I need to create content to get lots of views and get, you know, advertisement on there and be able to work with different companies in my industry. See, he made a video that got 150 views and was able to land 6 clients.
Wow.
And he's still asking me, how do I create videos that get even more views, get more subscribers? I'm like, why would you even need to do that? If you just duplicate that video, and so he's in the mortgage industry,
right?
You know, the 5 clients, right, can literally mean thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely.
And so you just duplicate. One reason I know this is significant is because I did this in real estate myself. I had a real estate channel back in 2011. I went from doing less than 10 properties a year to over 100 properties, just putting frequently asked question videos onto YouTube. By the way, still not getting tons of views. I think like, you know, my videos would get anywhere from 100 to 300 views. Sometimes it would pop and be like 1 to 3,000 views, but the opportunity wasn't in the AdSense. So that's like next to nothing, right? And I wasn't getting sponsored by Nike or some kind of brand, giving me free products. The opportunity was in the clients I landed. So that's just a couple of different examples of how like a less amount of views gives you a lot better ROI. And that's why, again, don't worry about the views or subscribers. Just this kind of system here where you start with clarity and how, like, once you get clear about that, it's a lot easier. You're going to skip a lot of steps, including ones like thinking the wrong way. But not just limiting to that, right? So people can sell digital products. People can sell their own products. They can have their own products or digital products being sold by other people. You can recommend other people's products through affiliate programs like Amazon, right? Like, you know what? There's Gary Vaynerchuk wrote a book about 10 years ago called Crush It. And he said in the end of the book, there was three different places he would recommend someone start a channel. He said one was a real estate agent. One was a tea reviewing. So like teas, like green teas, black teas, whatever. And the third one was the QVC of the internet. Basically a QVC that was completely digital. I have not seen that. Now, I don't know of all the channels. I still have not seen that. But that's a perfect example of where affiliates would crush. All you do is go live, literally all day long, just like QVC does. And you talk about products. You basically sell them, highlight the things that are great about it, maybe take a few callers. I don't know. Like there's like a whole bunch of ideas are coming to my mind. And you gain an affiliate revenue from that. That's just the beginning of so many different opportunities, which by the way, we talk about in our book, YouTube Secrets. But if you just do a simple search on how to monetize on YouTube, there'll be hundreds of videos on this topic. So the number one, the mistake is limiting your beliefs on what kind of opportunities are available. And the number one tip would be explore YouTube because there's tons of videos out there. And the second tip on this note is go to events and find out from other people in this industry what they're doing to monetize because it might open up your mind to things you could be doing right now to make money.
So I love that. I stop looking at the numbers so much. Focus more on your audience. Just give them content they actually want. Just great stuff here. What else? What else you got for us?
All right. So we're at mistake number four, which being is stopping at the upload. So you've got this idea. You know who you're going to reach out to. You've got a goal of what you want to accomplish. You work hard researching, scripting, storyboarding, and then you record. And then you work all day to edit that video. And then you go to upload. And maybe you do optimize the title. You put the right tags in there. You work on the info box. You're putting into a playlist engine. You upload. And then you quit. And that is a huge mistake people make because a lot of the magic that happens is after the upload. Now, yes, part of that magic is uploading another video, but it's the in-between efforts that's going to make all the difference. Let me share a story about engagement and my wife. So the way I got onto YouTube was I saw my wife, who at the time was my girlfriend, starting to put up beauty videos. We're talking circa 2008 when that was YouTuber wasn't even a word yet.
Yeah,
and using YouTube to like make a living was still completely foreign to most people. I think her generation definitely was like starting to like stumble upon it, but even her, she was like a huge early adopter. And she wasn't great at editing. She learned as she went. She definitely delivered value through teaching beauty techniques. And that would take her a lot of time. And she would do it after she got home from one of her two jobs, commuting back from school, which was in Seattle. And we live about 30 minutes north. And would work on these videos and put it up. And sometimes it would be as late as 10 or 11 p.m. But when I talk about don't stop at the upload, she's a great example because then she would literally spend the next 1 to 3 hours promoting her videos on social media, engaging with people online, and three, replying back to every single comment that came to her videos. And in the beginning, it was a lot more manageable before she was at 1.6 million subscribers. But still, she would literally just sit there and watch comments coming in, maybe review the comments from the previous upload or what she missed while she was gone throughout the day. That engagement is so important because one, it's acknowledging the fact that people are watching, and two, you're getting real-time feedback from people. Now, you know, when you first start, you're going to have a filter on like some of these haters or trolls or some of the negative comments that aren't constructive. But what you'll find is, especially if you're creating content for a specific audience and you really are passionate about delivering it to those people, you'll often find that a lot of the comments are positive, that a lot of people give you constructive criticism or feedback that is actually useful. So read them and appreciate them and do that every single time. And the second part you gotta look at the data that comes back, right? So the tips are, number one, you gotta engage with people. You got to start the conversation leads to relationships, which leads to opportunities, because once you have people's trust, then you can do anything with it, even with a small audience. Second part is you need to observe your results. So literally, it's kind of like backwards. It's going against what we say, which is don't worry about the numbers. What you want to do is look at the numbers, but isolate it to just that video in the last video. What I mean is don't compare it to PewDiePie, right?
Yes.
You know, like me and Sean are video influencers. Don't look at what we're doing, other people are doing, but like, oh, because of that, my views are horrible. Just look at it from every video after the other, and look at like, why am I getting more impressions on this one? Why am I getting more views, more likes, comments? Look at the watch time. Look at the audience retention, which is basically how much time people are spending in that video. Are they watching 1 minute of it? Are they watching 70% of it? Look at that stuff and slowly adjust your strategy. Maybe improve on, you know, the lighting or the quality of the edit, whatever it might be, based on that every single time. And this is what I mean by people quitting at the upload and not taking that extra time, because literally 50% is the video production and upload. The other 50% is this engagement and research piece on your own analytics.
Love it, because that's exactly, the more you engage with your community, they become your community. And then you'll see the same faces again and again on your next video and your next video. And they're going to be your hardcore fans who are going to share your video as soon as it's uploaded. They're going to watch it immediately. I love that idea of engagement. I love the idea of talking to the audience. And even if you're just starting out, in your video, call out the audience and ask them a question. Say, hey, hit me up in the comments below. Another pro tip here is, when you're engaging with your comments, don't just say thanks for watching, because you've just ended the conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you say something like, hey, really appreciate you being here, which tip was your favorite? Well, the person's going to come back and reply again. And now you're starting to build that rapport with your audience, which is just the best place that you could possibly be. Right, that was tip number four.
Mm-hmm. Got one
more. So there's more. Okay, hit us. Let's do this.
This is the last one that I want to leave people with. And it's a great segue from the last one, because stopping at the upload is the micro mistake. The macro mistake is quitting too early.
Wow.
So people get excited. Maybe you're listening to this podcast. Maybe you've read our book. Maybe you've watched some videos. You're seeing friends have success. You're just seeing other people just crush it on YouTube. And you're like, I'm going to do this. I figured out what I want to create, who I want to connect with, and I'm going to start my channel. You start uploading for a few weeks. Maybe you hustle and you get out like 10 to 20 videos in just the first few months. And then you just keep trucking along, but you're not seeing the growth you want. You're starting to get frustrated. You're hitting some challenges, some road bumps. And then, you know what? Come the fall, you get busy, the holidays, a lot of turkey dinners. You're like, you know, I'm going to chill. No one else is working during Christmas. And then come January, when it's time to make your goals, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do something else. Or maybe you're not going to do anything at all. You're going to go back to regular life. And then you quit. And we're just span a whole year right there really quickly. Mm-hmm. But that is a similar experience to many more people. And I'd say realistically, most people quit within maybe a month or two, maybe a few months. And so quitting early is so unfortunate, because what people don't realize, from the people like Casey Neistat or Gary Vaynerchuk, people like my wife, it's Judy Time, even Sean Cannell, the co-founder of Video Influencers, and so many other creators who are crushing it on here have a long history of doing something that's helped them to become who they are, if not doing a lot of YouTube, uploading a lot of videos. So, you know, before Sean came onto the map as one of the leading experts on YouTube, he was uploading a lot of content. He was working with me. He's working with other business people. He was hustling on his own. I remember some of his early videos, not really impressive, but the point is he got a lot of practice in while having a full-time job, providing for his family, you know, still volunteering in different organizations in his life. And every single time he created something, added it to his video library on his channel, his multiple channels, he was gaining experience. He was learning. He was improving. He was leveling up. And he didn't quit. You're talking, I mean, both Sean and I, we've shared our story on Video Influencers. We met at a time where we were at our rock bottom financially. It was just ironic that it was at the same time. And we built together, of course, in our individual efforts. But when we started Video Influencers, he unfortunately was still in a hustling mode where he was digging out of his hole. But because of all of his skills that he developed, because of, you know, observing the data and the analytics, he finally had all the information he needed to just blow up. And he is definitely one of the, if not the leading expert when it comes to YouTube on this platform. And he's just one of many, many stories like that. So when people quit after 1 to 3 months, realize a lot of people have 1 to 3 years before they get some traction. So it would be such a waste for you to start and invest in equipment, invest your time to upload, to, you know, sacrifice being with your family or some of the fun things you used to do to observe your analytics and your data and start improving yourself and getting better at this platform and connecting with people and building an audience. That's what's unfortunate when you spend so much time building an audience and they start this relationship. Can you imagine if there is a friend that you became good friends with over the course of a couple of years and then out of nowhere, he was just MIA, which happens a lot on YouTube. And, you know, it's not like the other person, your viewer's life is going to end or anything, but most likely they're just going to forget about you.
Move on.
Yeah. Those that don't quit, that are in it for the long haul, realize this is a marathon, not a sprint, will reap the benefits of all that hard work more than anybody. In fact, you know, I don't root for this, but when people quit, realize when you quit, you're leaving opportunities for other people on the table. You might have built some momentum for another channel that's going to creep up behind you and fill the void. So quitting too early maybe is the, I'd say one, it's a toss up whether it's the number one mistake or not, but it's how I like to leave talks like this because it's what you have to have. You have to have the persistence. So number one, remember the tip here is consistent improvement over a long period of time is going to teach you all the hacks, tips, the strategies, and the mega viral idea you need for your own content, for your audience, that's going to make all the difference.
I love it. And it's so true because we see so many times where a channel has left. The creator's clearly not made video in months, if not years. But yet you see some of the original videos have popped. You know, something that they did in 2 years ago has now become a trend again. And now those videos have taken off. Now, they've, all that opportunity is just simply left for the next creator to pick it up and run with that. And the most amount of money that company spends is on education.
I mean, your channel is a great example. I was looking at your videos when you invited me to this podcast. I was just looking at some of your videos. And I noticed some of your videos have really popped in the last few months. And I remember when I met with you for coffee there in, you know, in the Dallas area during that event you guys were hosting, I remember you were sharing with me, like, you know, like some of the videos, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but obviously just in this short 6 months, you've had some successes. You know, I can't wait to hear from you about those. But if you had quit during that time, right?
Exactly.
And I'm not saying you were at a point where you were going to quit, but a lot of other people would have quit because they want to focus on their job, or they're like, you know, this just isn't worth it. They wouldn't have had that opportunity to have a couple of videos hit. And that's what, like you said, right? Sometimes they don't even know that their videos hit. Maybe if they get that like AdSense check, they're like, wow, this is an extra few hundred. What's going on? And then they finally go back. But man, I'm telling you, once things gain traction and you figure it out, there's just so much opportunity. Even if it's not in that niche or the channel you initially started, maybe it's somewhere else because your passion is changing and then you're even more prepared for that opportunity.
And I must say, that's one of the biggest takeaway I took from reading the YouTube Secrets books, which I've literally, as I say, got it right with me.
I know.
It's about that. It's about understanding that this is just going to take time. And it's about understanding that it's okay to make mistakes, learn from them, see what you did wrong, adjust your course, and carry on. But you got to have a destination. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just going to be spinning your wheels in neutral. Sounds awesome. Lots of smoke, but you're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's why I definitely urge, if anybody hasn't read this book, absolutely go. I even made a video about this. Go grab that book.
By the way, when you made that video, the audio book wasn't out. So anybody that has that book, go check out the audio book on Audible, or you can go to Amazon, obviously. And that's obviously probably for your podcast listeners, a much better way to consume our book.
Now I'm going to ask you a very important question.
All right.
I'm putting you on the spot here. You're starting new today. You've got only $100 in your pocket. What do you do?
And so do I have a phone on me or not?
You've got a phone. You've got a phone. It's got a pretty good camera. It's got a pretty good audio.
I'm assuming I still have life going on.
Yes,
of course. Yeah. And I got some income. I can take care of myself. So with that $100, I'm literally sticking it on a cork board, and I'm going to literally just leave it there. And I'm going to hustle on creating videos. And I would just start creating content based on whatever I was passionate about at that time, right? Maybe because I failed so much and I only have $100 in my pocket that I have like a huge lesson I can teach, or I want to document my comeback. I'm just pumping out content and I'm basing it all on strategy. I'm not even worried about what money I'm going to spend. But because I know what you really want to know is what I would spend the $100 on when it comes to YouTube. But that's the reason I started the answer like that, because honestly, $100 is not going to make all the difference by any means at all. But if I was going to spend that $100 outside of my conviction to just make it back and succeed again and show, that was just a bump in the road and I'm gonna get back to where I was at, I would spend the $100 on a microphone. Something that could plug into my phone to give me the best audio possible. And this is why. If you've got natural lighting, you've got enough lighting. And the only thing that's going to level up your iPhone or cell phone camera videos is better audio. And I believe, I'm not a tech guy, so you're going to have to help me out here. There are lapel mics that would sell, or at least something that you can string to. You can literally plug it in. If you're an Android user, they probably still got the headphone jack. You might have to find a converter for the iPhone users and literally get better audio, because everything else really doesn't matter. And with $100, you are kind of limited. Yes. And most phones will do HD. But was that kind of the answer you were looking for?
I always like to ask this question because it's a mindset thing. And I loved how you started that by saying, I'll put it up on a corkboard and that's just going to be my motivation.
There you
go.
That's
beautiful.
I want to make more of those. That's what
show me more of those, and photocopying is not allowed. But with this last moments that we do have, obviously people are going to want to get in touch with you. They're going to follow you. They want to know what you're up to. Where can we get a hold of you? And of course, the book, where can we download that?
Yep.
Give us the information.
Yeah, the best thing to do is, if you're really serious about growing your YouTube channel and making this a big part of your life or your business, building an influence, making money, definitely go download it as an Audible book at audible.com, obviously, or go check it out at Amazon. YouTube Secrets. You just type it in. It'll be the first one. There is a couple copycats out there. So if you want, you can explore those. Tell me if it's good or not. But I'm pretty sure ours is the one that you want to download. And secondly, if you want to connect with me on social media, follow us at Video Influencer. So on Twitter, it's Video Influencer, no S. Everywhere else, including YouTube, Video Influencers. And I would love to connect. We put out content multiple times a week. And we're here for you guys and helping you on your journey to crushing it on YouTube.
And there we go. You've now got lots and lots of homework. You know what you need to do. Now go out and do that. And before you rush out, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast application. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing on this cheap talk. And of course, feel free to share it with at least one other creator that you know that's struggling with this exact same thing. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.